Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having a bit of a walk, a bit of a stroll in the sunshine, so we're having a bit of a spontaneous moment here. And we've been having a chat about what various people have been talking to us about. And one of our friends wanted us to talk about pride. So we've just been talking about this. So first of all, what is pride? Does it even have a definition?
It's one of the seven deadly sins, isn't it? You know, the Christians don't like it, do they? You know, is it pride, sloth, lust, whatever, avarice, blah blah. You know, envy. So there's at least a chunk of humanity that is being taught that it's not a desirable quality in a human being. Of course, that doesn't tell us exactly what it is. What is it? I don't know. Is it some kind of like, is it like narcissism? Is it self-love? Is it being pleased with yourself for something that you've achieved, or pleased with yourself for some quality that you have, or pleased with yourself for some quality that you imagine that you have but you don't have?
Yes.
You know, or some achievement that you imagine you've achieved but haven't achieved. Because, I mean, there's at least two things going on there. I mean, you can be pleased with yourself for something that you did, or some way that you are, that is praiseworthy.
Yeah, like if you're a surgeon and you've just pulled off an exceptionally difficult operation on somebody. Saved their life. Thinking, oh my God. Yeah. I did pretty well there and feel really, really pleased with yourself.
That's pride. Is that pride, isn't it?
But you know, I can't see how that would be a bad thing, you know.
Yeah, that's pride. But you can also be proud of other people, can't you? Parents are proud of their children when they do well.
Yeah.
Kind of reflected glory, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can have that.
Yeah.
You can be proud of somebody. And in a sense, when you're proud of somebody, you're also being proud of yourself, because you know that somebody, perhaps. It's hard to be proud of somebody who doesn't have some connection with you, of belonging. I mean, you can be proud of your football team. So you can be proud of the England team because we're English. If they kind of beat the Germans at last or whatever, you know. But so there's that as well, isn't there? So what's that?
Is it? Can we separate this feeling of pride from just like feeling pleased? You know, when you kind of feel pleased with yourself because you achieved something difficult.
Yeah. I mean, dig
you
a
know,
bit.
Or you finally finished your thesis and you've just got an A+ for it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What is it to be pleased with something? It means that you derive pleasure and pleased. They've got the same root, haven't they? They're part of the same thing. So you derive some kind of pleasure out of some fact of existence, like the fact that you got the A+ for the thesis gives you some pleasure. It's like that. Is it like that?
And then you might go off to your friends and say, guess what, I finished my thesis and I got an A+, and they all kind of buy you a round of drinks and give you a round of applause. And
or they say, fuck you, you're full of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a bit shitty, wouldn't it, really? If your friends, you know, you've done something really great and you pulled something really difficult off, and then they were just kind of, we disapprove of you because you're just displaying this horrible pride. We don't like it.
Or you dash down to the vicarage and you say to the vicar, this is absolutely great. I'm so proud of myself. I got an A+ for my thesis. And the vicar says, my son,
You are sinful.
You are in spiritual danger, and you are sinful.
Spiritual danger.
This is one of the deadly sins, you know that. So, what's that about?
That's not really fair, is it?
Is that pissing on somebody's parade, as they call it?
Come on.
And again, I suppose you've got other spiritualities. The spiritualities of fuck the ego. You've got fuck the ego spirituality, you know, haven't you? A lot of Eastern stuff has really got this down on ego. And pride would be an aspect of ego that should be crushed, or you should cultivate just doing away with it and just having a more modest idea of yourself and a modest demeanour with respect to the world, or even feeling that you don't really exist. You know, that you've been annihilated in nirvana or something like that, qua ego. So there's this other condemnatory trope around pride, directed towards pride, coming from other spiritual traditions. So what's all that about? What? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, just the stuff you were just talking about there. Mm. How do you think that evolved?
I think it's control. I think all cultivational religious injunctions are about control of populations by controlling people's minds. If you're the hegemon, you want society to do what you want and to be organised according to your vision and make profits for your coffers and treasuries. And so you have to get everybody acting in the same way. And the obvious way is to use chains and slavery and the lash and weapons and torture and violence. But it's kind of a bit counterproductive.
It's actually far cheaper just to enslave the mind.
It's far cheaper and far more efficient to enslave the mind. Enslave the mind. And this is how societies work, putting it very, very crudely. So anything that smacks of independence has to be crushed, or you have to dissuade the people from indulging in it. So you then have like commandments and discourses which condemn certain traits that human beings are prone to, and pride being one of them, you know, envy being another, lust being another, you know. So you get the seven deadly sins. It's really about a regulatory discourse that's meant to educate the population, educate there being a euphemism for brainwash, to behave in a way that serves the hegemon, in other words, the ruling powers, the oligarchs or whoever it is that's reaping all the benefits from a particular social organisation. That's all I see. Because I think in some cases there's pride, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, you know.
Yeah. So I think if you feel in some way that you can't feel pleased or happy or have some sort of joy from a great accomplishment or something you really didn't think you could do and you put all your effort into you and you really did pull it off and you really did well.
Yeah.
I mean, how sad would it be for you not to be able to have that joy? Because you felt guilty having that joy.
Yeah.
It's like being a bird in a cage with the door open.
It is.
And just like never stretching your wings and never like kind of flying and soaring.
Yeah.
Because you just think you should stay all bunched up in the cage.
Yeah. That's even though you know the door's open. The door's open, but I'm not, no way I'm going out there. It's bad. I've been told that it's bad. So it's all a bit mad, isn't it?
It's like almost like a horrible violence to do that to somebody.
Yeah.
To make them feel bad about the things they should feel good about. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's awful. Yeah.
I'm sure pride gets lumped with envy, which isn't very nice. You see, I mean, it's not nice to feel envy. And it does make people do violent and horrible things to each other. So I can kind of see a kind of a logic in the condemnation of envy, even though I don't feel very easy about condemning anything really, you know, except you have to, you know. Who's not going to condemn Auschwitz, you know, and the motivations behind that. Whereas pride doesn't feel bad, it feels you have your moment of triumph.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about sport and all that kind of stuff, that's what it's for, is to get that dopamine hit. It's basically what it is. Your brain gives you a little reward, squirts some dopamine, you know, and it gives you a good feeling, satisfied feeling, achievement.
But then we've got the other end of the spectrum where the manipulation of pride is not to kind of make you feel bad, but to make you feel good in order to get you to do stuff. Like, for instance, I am proud to serve my country. Yeah. Therefore, I will go off to any old war that they say is a good idea and go and just kill anybody.
And have my bollocks shot off. And come home with my bollocks in the plastic bag.
You know, so that's the other end of it, how pride is used.
Yeah.
You know, so not a good way there, really.
I think they'll die to
defend it, even though it's actually maybe not worth defending.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's quite kind of complicated and convoluted, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think I kind of take the point a little bit that you could say about pride, well, there has to be some entity which is feeling the pride, which is, you know, prideful or proud, yeah?
Yeah.
There's some entity which is proud. And you say, I am proud of myself for accomplishing X, Y, Z. So there's the I which the pride belongs to, and the anti-ego wallers are wanting to get rid of pride because, in a sense, it gives that I, that ego, an excuse to exist, or it reinforces it, or it takes it as real in some way. Now I think that attempts to excise the ego, to cut it out or to defeat it or to crush it, just produce another one just like the other one except more preposterous. I mean, ego is pretty preposterous, you know, and laughable in many respects, and you just get more and more, you know, spiritual egos are really preposterous, aren't they? And the people think, well, I've squashed my ego now, and they've got a big ego about having squashed their ego.
No.
Which is just kind of preposterous.
Yes.
and deeply unattractive and all the rest of it. And there's no way, even though, I think that's kind of missing the point of the more sublime meditation teachings that do call ego into question. Seems to me that you can't squash or crush or destroy ego. It can't commit suicide until it actually does, you know. And only actual physical suicide is the only way of, like, really getting rid of it, you know. And there's no satisfaction in that because there's nobody there to be satisfied. But I do see that somehow it's not really got that much reality. It's a bit like a soap bubble, you know. And all the discourses about getting rid of the ego are really making a mistake. What they should be asking you to do is to see through it. It's actually just to see through it, you know. And it's like, it just put it a little bit crudely, it never existed in the first fucking place. So any kind of drama about trying to get rid of it's a bit daft, you know. But then in that scheme, where is pride? But it seems to me, you know, that somebody who's seen through the whole kind of game and absurdity and beauty and sublimity and terror of human life, you know, ego is at very, very most a soap bubble. And not even that, really. You know, but then there's a thing that can happen then, which I mean I call it Dharma pride. I don't know whether this is a real word, a real term, but it's that the human being who's experienced all that stuff doesn't have to be a little slouching, cowering, retiring wallflower in life, you know. But again, there's a sort of thing in the popular imagination and in some of the ideological discourses around meditation and around contemplation and around spirituality, which try and make out that is how you should be. Like, you're so fucking humble that nobody can see you, you know, that you, and you're just all trying to retire. But actually, I'd say no, you know, that an enlightened being is straight.
Yeah.
And she sticks her chest out.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It's like a kind of a Dharma pride. There is a pride, there's a pride in being, a phrase you used earlier before we started recording, the magnificent beast that you are. But it's not a pride that's attached to a proudful entity. The pride is simply a process, a way of being. See, this is pure Wittgenstein, you know. We're in a struggle with language, with pure nature even. You know, we think that for every quality, there has to be a being that to which the quality is attached, otherwise the quality can't exist. And that is a very kind of static, essentialist, Aristotelian way of understanding things. But if you understand things in terms of process and movement, rather than as to do with, like, entities owning qualities different way of looking at the world. Heraclitus, Lao Tzu, the Buddha. They all had this vision of process rather than entities. And that pride actually then is just some kind of process in the world. Yeah? It's nothing to do with an ego. It's nothing to do with self-delusion. Because there is such a thing as false pride, isn't there? You know, you can be proud because you think you've achieved something, but actually the thing was nothing. It might even have been shit, you know. Sounds like, whether you call that false pride or, you know, as opposed to a justifiable pride that you might have in something that was. You discovered penicillin. I think I discovered penicillin. I think I was kind of proud.
Just to backtrack a little bit. Yeah. Discovering penicillin or doing a very difficult operation or one of these things or getting an A+ on your thesis. But you don't have to do something as grand as that to feel good about your accomplishments or your achievements. It's like you can feel, sometimes if I'm having a bad day and I can just tick off, say, a couple of things on the list, like I can get the washing done.
Yeah.
I can feel so pleased with myself.
Yeah.
Or I finally filled out the tax form. It's like,
that is a truly deserved pride if you feel any doing that, you know.
Yeah. You know. So it doesn't have to be magnificent.
You know, I can kind of see a way of being in the world that can arise out of an insight into the way oneself is and things are. Yeah. Which is neither shrinking nor absolutely explosively involved in banging its own drum and sounding its own trumpet, but which is nevertheless up, in which you stand upright and open and not ashamed.
Yeah.
You know.
Could we just say that pride is just a simple, authentic joy in your accomplishments?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Even though they don't really belong to you.
No.
Because there is no you for them to belong to. But they're outpourings of the universe. But, you know.
When that particular outpouring of the universe finally fills out their tax form and actually gets all the numbers right, that's a joyful feeling.
I think feelings of pride are totally in order, you know.
I'd love to sign that on my tax form.
I am so proud of myself.
No, I'm... instead of putting Anna Ingham, just putting like a particle floating in the universe or something like that.
That's what I'm going to do with all that kind of crap they're sending me about the bloody Department of Work and Pensions. You know, don't have battles with the government if you can avoid them. But you'll feel very proud when you win. But I do feel like saying to folks, you know, but it's fine. Be proud of the magnificent beast that you are.
Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah.
And also, if you're the sort of person who does actually put people around you down because they are feeling joyful in their achievements, just have a little look at that.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Because, you know, I know people who do that, and I kind of look at them
and think,
what the hell is going on in your mind?
It's very common.
Why are you doing that?
It's very common, yeah.
You know, that could crush, even just a child, just feels... joyful because
it's twisted,
tied the shoelaces for the first time.
Twisted puritanical morality.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I mean, it's cruel.
Yes, and it very often is cruel.
But at the same time, if somebody around you is going on and on and on and kind of rubbing it in your face how great they are, when maybe, you know, the kind of thing that they've done is not so great, or you can't know for a fact that they actually are lying.
Well, even if it is great and they just keep going on and on, it's a pain in the arse, you know.
The thing is, I think the reason why it's annoying is because there's kind of this grating quality of that in your face boasting coming from a place of insecurity.
What they're actually
wanting from you, it's not just a simple outpouring of joy by any means. What it is, it's a grasping attempt at trying to get your approval and your adoration and positive feedback to reinforce their own image of themselves. And when they're doing that to you, that feels annoying because it kind of feels invasive.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to take something from you. They're not giving you an open invitation just to give it willingly. and to be pleased and joyful with them. They're trying to take something from you. Like you're being assaulted or something. That's what it feels like.
Oh, you're very sensitive, aren't you? We've got a few...
Give me that adoration, you know? They're kind of almost like kind of like punching you in the face and like and trying to kind of, you know, trying to get it out of you. It's like it really feels like aggressive sometimes. So, yeah, that's... If that's coming from... If that's what's going on, that doesn't feel good. Probably from either end, really. And maybe that's why pride has a bad rap.
Could be. You know. And pride goes before a fall and all that stuff, and it's the seventh deadly sin. I mean, put yourself on a pedestal, someone will knock you off. It might be you might get struck by lightning. It might be somebody else.
Why are you putting yourself on a pedestal?
You might have a heart.
What's going on there?
You might have a heart attack and fall off.
Yeah.
And the next thing that you try might fail miserably.
You know, why do you need to be on a pedestal?
Such is life. Well, precisely, you know.
You know.
Precisely.
Do you need to be on a pedestal to feel good about yourself, really?
No, I suppose if I was going to recommend a way of being, of course...
The pedestal method would not be at the top of the list.
Bearing in mind that you can't really force a way of being. And... You can't really, and we're always going on about what a waste of time cultivation is. So you try and cultivate yourself out of being a boastful person out of insecurity and pain. Yeah. You know, I don't think these things are just simply switched off or switched on. So there's a slight problem there. But if I was going to recommend a way of being for somebody to have a stab at, I'd say, well, just be easy about stuff, you know. You don't need to have a resistance to the dopamine hit you'll get when you pull something off that you attempt.
Yeah.
You know. And if people admire you for it and love you for it, enjoy it. But don't have to have it. You know, so I say about admiration and love and reflections. Yeah, fucking hell, if I get any of that, I'm going to drink it down.
Yeah.
You know. My non-existent ego is going to drink it down. It's like lubrication for life, you know, all that stuff. People depend on reflections from each other. I'm going to drink it down, but what I'm not going to do is spend my life manipulating people to get that out of them.
No.
If I don't get it, great. If I do get it, great. I'll damn well enjoy it, but I don't have to have it.
No.
I'm not going to let it manipulate me because it gets very painful. Just simple reason. That kind of stuff gets very painful.
It does, yeah, because if you don't get it, you don't get that reflection that you want, then it's a real stab in the heart.
Yeah, so a bit of self-sufficiency, I think, is if one could choose a way to be, because of course one cannot, that is the one that I would choose, is like a kind of self-sufficiency, but not having any resistance to the joys of life, you know, and to companionship and to love. For fuck's sake, don't give yourself a resistance to love. But of course, we can do nothing about any of these situations, hardly. You know, except say to people, well, maybe go off on your own for 6 months and stare at the back of your eyelids. You might or might not come to some sort of resolution if it's bugging you that much. You know, it's a hard life.
Yes, hard in some ways for sure. But also, on the flip side, incredibly easy too, in some ways. But let's be the magnificent beasts that we are. Let's own it and say, yes, I am magnificent, and that's okay.
I'll try that then, Anna.
I'm going to enjoy it.
I'll try that then, Anna. Thank you for listening, friends.
I hope you enjoyed being on a walk with us, and we'll speak to you soon.